You're listening to Daycare Overhaul, Doing Childcare Better, presented by Childcare BizHelp.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Daycare Overhaul, where we do childcare better. I'm Caroline Jens.
And I'm Justina Patterson.
And holy cow, it's a perfect fall day to record a podcast with you, Justina.
Okay, but you're in Florida, and how fall does it actually get? That's the real question, because in Wisconsin, it's like 65 degrees today.
Well, I heard it's going to get really warm there, like 75 or 80 degrees, isn't it?
Yeah, it's supposed to, okay, I stand corrected, it's 61 degrees here today, but it's supposed to get to be like 70 over the weekend, I think.
Well, how are you going to wear your boots out and about and your scarves?
It's not that cold yet. We can't wear those yet. Last week we could have. It was really cold, but not this week.
Well, we had fall weather here in Florida last week. We were able to open our doors and open our windows, and then the humidity came back. So we're back into summer.
So, but like, what's fall temperatures in Florida? Like 80?
I'm not sure. I think 75 and 80.
Yeah, that's hot.
I don't know. It's my first time here. So we'll see. I guess we'll have to talk about that on future podcasts when you're, you know, trying to shovel your car out and I'm at the pool.
Yeah, rub it in.
Well, it's always great to have our Daycare Overhaul podcast. It's one of the highlights of my week, not only just because we always have amazing guests on our show, but because I get to see Justina's face because I miss her, not working alongside her. But today we have a really great topic that I think is one that many of us can definitely learn something from. The topic specifically is there should be an I in team.
Well, first of all, do you hear the train in the background? Because that's really loud.
We were prepared for that this time.
We were. Second of all, there should be an I in team, but you know what is in there is in team? An M and an E. And that's all me.
Right. And there's not supposed to be a me. It's not all about me.
But is it? I think we're going to find out today what the real answer to that question is.
Well, and here's the cool thing. Our guest did something super special for you and I both.
She did.
And so we're going to introduce her, and then we're going to talk about what she did for us and why we're so excited to have her on the show. So welcome to Ruth Kraskowski. Hi, Ruth. How are you, Ruth?
Hi. I'm so excited to be here today.
We're so happy to hear you.
Words are hard. Words are hard. You know what? Why this is happening? Because you woke up at 3:30 this morning.
Oh, that's so right.
This is what happens when you wake up at 3:30.
It was 3 o'clock, not 3:30.
Even worse.
Well, we are babysitting one of our neighbor's dogs this week. And so we have our own dog, and they were fighting over which bed they were going to sleep in. And so I had to be the referee at 3 a.m. So I decided, you know, I'm just going to get up and I'm going to split them apart. Let one sleep upstairs and one came downstairs with me to work.
Well, that sounds like a good plan.
Right. So getting up at 3 a.m. and having a podcast on the same day is hard. Words are going to be hard.
It's okay.
Make note of that for next time.
Right. Right. I have to make sure I get good sleep.
Or a power nap in the morning.
Power nap. So true. But welcome, Ruth. I'm going to give a little bit about her background, and then we'll share a little story of, you know, just how you've really impacted our lives, both Justina and I. I actually met Ruth on a chamber board that we were both on, and we instantly became friends, and we have been friends ever since. And Ruth spends her career focusing on how to help others identify, examine, create, and most importantly, execute what's next for them in their organizations. Ruth's purpose, which she is big on, she wants her clients to really know their bigger purpose. So her purpose, simply stated, is to be service to others. And I know that for a fact, she lives out that purpose on a daily basis, especially with things that, like I said, that she's done, not only for me, but for Justina and I. It is her straightforward approach, honest conversation, and unwavering commitment to her clients that has brought change to hundreds of organizations through the years. The impact is in revenue, profitability, engagement, and the culture. Ruth understands what makes people tick and how to help them look in the future with renewed passion. As a professional encourager, which I love that line in your bio, because you are my encourager, hands down, 100%. So as a professional encourager for Tri-S Consulting for over 20 years, she encourages others to challenge themselves in pursuit of that bigger purpose. Welcome, Ruth.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you. It's good to see you guys. I get to see you on the screen.
Yeah, it's kind of fun that you're in California now.
Yes.
Just in Wisconsin, I'm in Florida, and we're able to get together again, just like we were sitting face to face.
It's a whole new world.
It really is. Now, like I mentioned, you and I met a number of years ago on our chamber board. And we really hit it off. And I think the one thing that really drew me to you is you're always concerned about other people. Like every time I would get together with you, you immediately started asking me questions to make sure I was doing okay, that, you know, if there was anything that you wanted to help me with, you made me open up to you in a way that I never open up to anyone.
Well, thank you. I think that might be good, but I don't know. Some people like that. Some people are like, why are you asking me all those questions?
You do ask a lot of questions.
I do. It's all about the questions, no doubt.
But it gets you thinking. And, you know, we introduced you to a number of our clients for the last couple of years. And every one of our clients that have used you with their teams, you know, you're a great addition to the services that we can offer. You piggyback, you fill in those gaps that we can't fill. And every one of our clients that work with you, they always want Ruth back. When are we going to have Ruth back? When can we have Ruth? Can we have Ruth train us and not you? I hear that often.
Well, but it's really an honor to be trusted, right? I mean, you think about it. How do you, you know, to transfer the trust that you've built with all of your customers and clients to someone else is very scary. And so I'm very honored by that. I mean, it's a big commitment that, you know, I make to you because it's a big deal.
It is. And, you know, one of the things that you really excel at is teaching leaders how to lead, you know, really get into the depths of, you know, those social styles. And I'm sure we may get into some of that. But you're really great at, you know, developing the leaders of organizations and getting them to think differently. And just on a personal level, like I said, one thing that you did for Justina and I, we were going to a big conference and
literally almost a year ago.
Wow.
Like to the day because we were in Florida a year ago at the end of the month. So it's pretty much like a year ago.
Wow.
It is. So we, Ruth, that we are going to be keynotes for a conference here in Florida, which I'll be speaking at again next week, actually. And Ruth was like, well, you guys have to look fabulous on stage, so I'm going to take you shopping. And she shopped. Like she had a map of the whole entire shopping center, of all the different stores that we were going to go to. And then when we got into each store, she wouldn't even let us pick out our own clothes.
No, we had
That's just me being controlling.
We had to sit in the dressing room and they would just throw things over the door. You know, I would have probably just wore like some cute little flats. But the day before, Caroline's like, she's got a map. And I was like, oh, this is serious. So Caroline and I show up with it in our tennis shoes because we know it's serious business. It was a fun day. It was exhausting, but it was fun.
It was a very fun day. And I remember it, the start of it a little differently than that. You know, I think we were talking about this big, I mean, it was a big deal to presenting and being the key. I mean, that was a really big deal. And I remember, oh, are you nervous? Well, you know, I mean, and I said, well, you know, the one thing you always got to do is have a new outfit. And that's when we started talking about going shopping. And you guys at the end were so exhausted, and I could have kept going because you were so fun to watch. You come out in all your outfits, and I think we need to talk about the boots, Caroline.
Yeah, my new favorite boots. Okay, so one thing that you were able to do is have us try on clothes that we never would have tried on, right, Justina?
Yep.
Like, never in a million years would I have ever picked red boots. And you were like, no, these are going to go perfect with that outfit. And I tried them on and I fell in love with them. And literally every time I wear them, I get compliment after compliment after compliment. They're fabulous.
We can't really talk about the whole excursion, though, without also talking about your highlighter pants.
That is true.
Because you were in the dressing room and we found these pants that were fluorescent green. And I'm like, you should just try them on. And you're like, no, I would never wear those. And we were insistent, both Ruth and I, like, no, you need to try them on. And did you buy those pants, Caroline?
I did. And you want to hear a fun fact?
Yes.
Yeah.
I wore them yesterday. And I didn't even connect the dots that today we were going to be recording with Ruth.
They were the best because I think Ruth said, you know, it's a good outfit if you put it on and you dance in them.
Right.
Right. And you danced in those pants. And they were like, that was after we went to the. So this is the thing is we couldn't just go to one store. We had to go to multiple stores. And the store that we found those on, that was like our second or third time back to that same store. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the first time we found those.
Oh, yeah, definitely not the first time. But my daughter's the one when shopping with her is the whole dancing, right? Is because I think so often we just do things because we got to get it done, right? Okay, we got to get this, we got to do that. And so we'd go shopping together and I'd look at her feet and all of a sudden I'd see her dancing, you know? I'd be like, what are you doing in there? And she's like, oh, I'm just looking kind of cute. And so that's all these years later, she's 30 some years old, all these years later, I always think about that. So when I go shopping, I said, you got to dance. If you're not dancing in it, not worth it.
Well, we love spending time with you. I can't wait to see you again. Thank you again for coming on our show. We're really blessed to have you. And maybe we can dive into this topic in terms of, you know, again, there's no I in team, but should there be? And one of the things that you had written was leading must first be about the individual, and that includes ourselves. But strong team players come from living authentically as individuals. The I and the team are interconnected. One cannot exceed without the other. And I thought that was just such an intense statement. And it really sums up that whole there is no I in team, but should there be? And so my question to you would be, you know, why first did you choose this topic? What motivated you? Why did you think this was something that childcare center leaders needed to hear?
I don't know that there's, leadership is leadership to some degree, right? And when I thought about talking about this, I first went back, I decided to do a little research. Because, you know, Caroline's a little bit more analytical than I am. And so I wanted to have some really good facts and kind of check it out. And I did some research. I started looking back to see what the hot topics were, right? In 2001. I went all the way back to 1940. And there was definitely some differences between the beginning of January and January 2020 and today, a little bit. But there were some things that were always the same, and that was communication and teamwork. It was always about how you get this team to come together, the team to come together. And so it was either about them performing as a team or coming together as a team. So I thought about that and went, okay, but is it really just about the team? Because I think it's almost a little bit of a cop-out if we only look for team performance.
True.
Right? It has to first be individual, then the team.
And why should I, as a leader, really focus on the individual?
Well, if you think about it, so right, the analogy I did a little research on it, and that whole there's no I in team, except there's a me, right? But there's no I in team came from the earliest I could come up with was like 1960, around the time, and it was all about baseball. It was about sports, right? And at that time, it was really about baseball, I think, the initial one. If the Google search I did was accurate, but it was about being a team. And it was about a sports team. And I found that really fascinating because I'm really not very sportsy, but I get the concept of a sports team, right? And it is about operating as a team, but you have to have first successful individual contributors, right? People spend years and years thinking about, you know, a professional sports team. How much time and effort do they spend honing those skills? Even after they're a part of the team, they have their own, little subgroup. I should never talk sports analogies. I should just really not do it. It was a bad choice. But anyways, you know, like they have defensive coordinator group. That's about all I know. But they still continue to work on their individual skills and then continue to come together as a team. And so their coach works on them, not just on teamwork, but individually. And I really related that to what I see with a lot of my clients. And I don't know if I would say more so in daycare, in the childcare industry, but I think it might be because there seems to be a few more fires there than maybe some other places. Yeah, just a few more. So yeah, it's easier. It truly is easier to look at it and say my team as opposed to diving into individuals.
Right. And I think, when I think of a center director, you know, center directors often are they're concentrating so much on their staff, you know, and building that team and getting teamwork and collaboration. And you rarely see them focusing on themselves.
Right.
And, you know, so they're spending all that time trying to build their team. How do you get them to spend that time on themselves too?
So part of being a good team player is really understanding what you bring to the team. And so if I need to assess who I am and what my strengths are as a leader and what my challenges are as a leader, I have to spend some time doing that. And I have your book, the journal you guys sent out in the leadership. Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a phenomenal tool to use. It's a little book for those of you who don't know that. And it has little areas every day that you fill out and you write about your strengths and things you notice in other people and just all the areas that really require us to kind of pay attention. And I think that's the part of the I, of the me, right? As an individual on the team, we got to pay attention. We just really have to pay attention.
You know, it reminds me of whenever you're flying and they take you through the safety protocols, then they always say you have to put your oxygen mask on first before you can help anybody else. I think it's probably the same situation. You have to help yourself because if you're not at the top of your game, how are you going to effectively help other people?
Well, and it's really frustrating, right? Because who has extra time? So I think it comes down to there's a time issue, right? So as a leader, as this, we'll call it the coach, the center director, right? Whatever. It's either time. So I don't have enough time to do that. I already have work-life balance issues. I already struggle. I have some team members that are great, so I don't want to have to worry about them, right? But it also comes down to it's easier to look outside than it is to look inside. Just a fact of life, I think. And I believe that we become so busy trying to produce something that if I stop and look at myself for just a half a second, I gotta own what I'm not doing right. And that's painful. That's really uncomfortable. And I don't know why, because we all got stuff to work on, right? We all have things. But I had a conversation just this morning, actually, at 5 o'clock, Caroline. I had a conversation with a gentleman who owns a company, and he was talking about how he's going to coach these two people, right? And he says, I really need to get with them and have them really follow through with it, what they say they were going to do. And I've kind of let them off the hook. And, you know, they're doing some of it, but they're not really doing all of it. And, you know, I got to really get them to change. You know, it's been a long time. They've been doing this the way they've been doing it a long time. And as he's talking, I said, isn't that the same thing you got to do for yourself? Right? You've been leading the same way for a long time. You have to change how you're leading. He's like, oh, that was not good. I don't want to hear that so early in the morning, you know. And he used the word, that's hypocritical. And I said, that sounds a little strong to me. I think that's self-aware. That's the journey that you take first, to be self-aware enough so that you can then go out and help people become really strong individuals so that you can grow and have that amazing team.
Right, especially with, you know, even just thinking of COVID and what we have to, how we've had to pivot and adjust as leaders. You know, if we didn't take that time to maybe look at ourselves and change our leadership style during this time, you know, we're having to be a little more sensitive. You know, maybe we're allowing some things that we maybe wouldn't have, you know, 9 months ago. So having that self, you know, awareness is something that is so critical, especially in what we're going through right now.
But here's the deal. Not everybody's doing that.
True.
That some people I know, some companies I've worked with or people I've heard about telling me about their organizations trying to do everything as usual. Right. There's some companies out there that literally have done very little different.
And, well, what would you say to them? What would you say to them in order to, you know, get them to be more authentic and more real in front of their staff during this kind of year that we've had?
Most change, right? And this goes to a very fundamental part of who we are as human beings, I think. We oftentimes don't change without pain. Real, you know, fundamental change. There sometimes needs to be a crisis. There are absolutely times as humans we go, oh yeah, this is going to be great. Let's make this happen. Or, hey, I'm going to get on board with that. But then there are definitely situations where we kind of need that crisis mode. Somebody has to kind of say, hey, I'm quitting. Or somebody has to say whatever it is that kind of almost that feels like that slap in the face. It kind of takes your breath away and you go, and when you have that moment, we get to make a choice.
Yeah, we just had that conversation at church last night, which is kind of interesting, you know, how when you're going through a rough storm. And again, I think that, you know, we've had this conversation before. The year that we're going through is so rough that we're going to come out on the other side so much stronger. But it's recognizing that, you know, we're going to have to make some changes as we go along the way. We're going to have to look at ourselves differently. We may have to rally our team differently. You know, we might have to, you know, give in to some things that we might not want to give in to. And it's just something that we have to do right now.
And I'm sorry, because Justine, I just was going to talk over you. You go.
I just was going to say, I had heard this the other day that, and I feel like it kind of relates, that when babies are super, super fussy, like for a day, if they have really fussy, those are the days that they learn the most. And so it's hard for them, and it's tough and it's hard, and they go through it, and it's not fun to deal with a fussy baby and whatever. But then the next day that they've learned something, whatever it may be. And so in this situation, those days where you're having a really rough day or you know, you feel like everything's falling apart. Those are the days that you're probably learning the most and not even realizing it.
Well, and I think that because of the childcare industry, right, has been so hit by COVID, it's hard to remember that there's other companies that aren't even around, right? But actually, there are some companies that have really embraced it or for whatever reason are doing really good. I have some companies that are almost surprised they're doing good. And then I've talked to a few directors and I'm like, wait a minute, you're growing? You're going to think about doing this? You're thinking about doing, what do you mean? That you're not supposed to be doing that. And it's almost like nobody told them they weren't supposed to. Right? They weren't supposed to continue to thrive, right? To figure out challenges. And I think thriving has a different look to it today. It's not the same as it was 6 months ago.
Definitely. I would agree to that. I think our definition of thriving right now is so different. Yeah. You know, thriving 9 months ago was, you know, having these long waiting lists and not having to market your childcare center, not having to, you know, finding employees was the, you know, was our number one obstacle 9 months ago. But now, honestly, this topic about, you know, really focusing not just on the team, but on the individual, you know, those leaders are so critical right now for retention purposes, you know, to help enroll new families. You know, you're not going to be able to do that if you're not strong yourself, if you're not authentic and you're not being transparent, you're not going to be able to represent your organization the right way.
So thriving, right, means to me, I'll define that to me, means that it is there is some enthusiasm, there's some hope that you can make a difference in the lives of the people you touch, right? And if that, I'm not even talking about money at this point. Money to me comes as a result of helping as many people as possible. And we get through that. We'll get through this. But thriving is really about who I impact, right, on a daily basis. And we all have so many opportunities to interact. And so I don't want the concept to get lost. Leaders want to focus on the team because it's much easier, A, than focusing on themselves, or B, having those difficult one-on-one or even easy one-on-one conversations. And so how do you do that, right? Oftentimes, how do you become self-aware? You need a crisis. Okay, well, we don't want everybody to have a crisis, right?
Right.
Sometimes becoming self-aware happens through helping other people become self-aware.
Just like good.
The gentleman that I told you about, right? He's trying to do the right thing and didn't even realize that was one of his issues. And so one of the things I notice more than anything is that leaders struggle, resist having one-on-one meetings with proactive meetings with their people, period.
That is a fact. Justine and I just had this conversation with someone this week that they did not want to have performance reviews or even, you know, conversations like that with their staff. And I believe it stems from what you were saying, because feedback is going to occur, right? It's going to be a two-way street. And we may hear things in that conversation as leaders that we don't like.
Yep.
Or that will shed light on a piece of us that we don't want to see.
Totally.
And it's super uncomfortable. You know, even if you're the one giving the performance review, they may say something to you that you're like, well, that you're going to essentially want to defend instantly. Like, that's not what's happening, because you know, your defense mechanism goes up and you try to, you know, save, like, no, I'm not doing that, but it's uncomfortable. And then you have to like really think like, okay, am I really doing that? You have to have like that check in with yourself after the fact. Like, if they said it, Is it their perception? And if that's a perception I'm giving off, then there's clearly a problem.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I have a real good example of this. You know, when we were at our childcare center, our director and our curriculum coordinator, I just came back from a, and I think I've mentioned this before, but I just came back from a leadership, like a 2-day motivational kind of inspire others. I came back fired up, like on fire. I had stuff all over my billboard. I had notes everywhere. I had new goals for everyone. And when they came into my office for our weekly leadership meeting, I was ready to present them all this wonderful stuff that I learned. Well, they sat down and immediately turned the table on me and said, well, we need more of you to do ABC. You know, we need, you know, you're not fulfilling this piece that we need from you. And that was a really hard conversation. And I respect them for being able to be that transparent with me and honest, but it was hard to swallow. And so you, at that moment, you just have to be quiet and listen, right? Yeah. And not defend yourself. I took it in. I probably went home and cried a little, I'll be honest. And then I had to reflect and make some changes in my leadership style because of it. But that's a really hard thing.
Can I ask you a question, both of you?
Sure.
Why is it when I said, don't quote me exactly, but I said something to the extent of talking one-on-one with your employees, you both went immediately to performance reviews, difficult conversations, bad problems, attacking, defensive situations?
Because I think it's, and Justina, you can speak on your behalf, but I think it's easy for center directors to have really simple conversations, you know, happy ones, like you're doing a great job. I'm just going to walk past you, say good morning. Yep. Hey, how's your family going? Those are really easy conversations, right? So you don't, and there's not going to be any potential, generally, you're not going to get that negative feedback.
In the hallway.
Well, and I would say for me, you remember those hard conversations because they cause stress and anxiety. And so you instantly, like, even just talking about it, like, I feel it. Like, I feel the stress of, like, having to have a difficult conversation and, like, and not wanting to do it. And so I think Caroline's right. Like, it's really easy to have like, let's do this. It's super great. Yay, yay, yay. But it's really hard to sit down and be like, this is what I'm seeing. It's hard to hear it. It's hard to say it, you know.
There is a little bit of gray in there, you know. Right? And think about the sports analogy again, right? That individual player has had many coaches, has gotten a lot of feedback from different people, some bad, some good, right? They started out in Little League maybe, right? And they worked their way up. And so it isn't just about corrective action. It's about interacting with them and showing that you care, right? Because if somebody's going to really, really work extra hard for your team, they got to know you care. And how most people, even if they don't like to chat much, right? There's a lot of people who just aren't chatty, and that's okay. They probably don't listen to the podcast. That's okay. But even those folks want to know that you're willing to invest in them. And that doesn't mean the biggest and most important investment you can make is time. Right. And so I'm not really talking about a performance review, and I'm not really talking about hello in the hallway. Okay. I'm talking in the middle of that, right? Which is, if I only meet with them one-on-one, and I had this conversation with a director, actually an owner, about 6 months ago. If you only meet with them to do your performance reviews, then of course it's scary.
Exactly.
And we set goals in January and we check in on them in December, Okay, that's called a New Year's resolution. That's not a goal. I've never made one happen. And so why can't this become a dialogue, right? And we engage with each other on a monthly basis. I truly believe if you have direct reports, you need to have a monthly one-on-one with them. How are they doing as individual performers, right? How are they, what, not just what do you need from me? Very important. Think about this. The football player doesn't walk up to the coach, right? And say, I need this from you, coach. You're not doing a good job, coach. Well, maybe they do, but I just don't think that happens, right? So it's not that you can't have that conversation and share what you need, but I find that a lot of center directors that I've dealt with and a lot of leaders, it's easier to do for somebody else than to help them walk through those things, those challenges, or just to chat, right? Give them 15 minutes.
I remember, this kind of reminds me of that, when I first, at our center that we used to work at, when I first came into management in the office, and Caroline asked me to lunch. And I was like, oh my God, like, what is happening? What did I do? Like, is she, am I going to get in trouble? Like, I didn't know, mm-hmm. you know, and not that she had ever yelled at me previously. There was no reason that I was worried, but I'm just like, why does she want to take me to lunch? And we went and we just had a conversation. I was like, okay, well, I clearly overreacted. But I didn't know that we were just going to chat. And, you know, the more we worked together, the more we did that. And now, like at Child Care Biz Hub, we used to do that all the time. Like, let's just go have lunch. Or when we were working at our house, we would go outside and eat and just have a conversation. And so it was very different to just like sit and have that talk. Then I had no reason to like be worried, but I was. And so I think the more you normalize it, the easier it becomes for everybody. And then it isn't stressful and there's no reason to have, then when you have to have those hard conversations, it's not as hard because you already have that rapport with the person and you can just kind of say like, hey, let's work on this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Good time, Christina.
I mean, could you imagine you just go in to management and, you know, your boss, like, we're going to go to lunch today. What? Why? What do we need to talk about? And then you start asking the director, like, what do you think we have to go to lunch about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't know.
Or you get one of those emails and it's just like, we need to talk at 3 o'clock today. And there's no explanation as to why.
Or worse, next Monday and it's Friday.
Oh.
But so I remember, so I'm 20 years old. I'm going to college. I need a part-time job. And I took a part-time job as a telemarketer in an insurance agency. And I did it at night. I was literally in the building all by myself. But I started to get some day hours. And there was a gentleman there and his name was Ken Jones. And I still to this day remember Ken Jones. He asked me to come in early because he wanted to find out what I was, you know, interested in. And I thought, is he trying to pull something on me? Does he want something else? What does he want? Why does he want to talk to me in his office? You know? And I didn't even think I did anything wrong at that time. I thought, you know, what the heck? And he really just wanted to find out about me and where I was going and help me, set a path for that. And literally I had a career in insurance for 8 years because of that. And that's either a good or bad thing if you know about insurance, but there was no benefit to him. He did that because he wanted to make a difference in my life.
Right.
And I think us as normal humans, right? Not these professional leaders. Sometimes I just think some people just do it so easy. Like I look at other right. people and say, how do they have that conversation so easily? But for normal folks like us, I think if we can look at the conversation with others as a gift, right, as an investment in them that will give tenfold than the 1-year anniversary, 10-year anniversary. So somebody looking at a pen for a 1 year anniversary. I'm telling you, this time, even if it's 5 minutes, will be so much more valuable. But it's going to require as leaders to look inward and say, why won't I do that? Right? Why won't I? What holds me back? What fear do I have to walk through that I can actually do that, which I think is probably right to do?
I really want to make sure that we emphasize this in our write-up today, because what you just said was, it was really deep, and I want to make sure people don't miss it. Again, it falls back into knowing your bigger purpose, right? Which is what you taught me. And the fact that you said, look at the conversation as a gift and an investment. And that makes having a conversation, that just gives a whole new meaning to having a conversation with someone. If you look at it as a growth opportunity for them, if you look at it as a way to motivate them, to help them develop, help yourself develop as a leader, because you're both going to get something out of that conversation. Every conversation that we have helps us grow personally. And I just think I love that statement. That's so cool. So what is the best way to build a team, of really strong individual players that become an overall really good team?
So one of the things that I talk about quite a bit is kind of group dynamics. We've talked about this, guys. That concept that you have all of these people, right? And you have some that are doing really great. You got some that are fine. They're just humming along. And then you got kind of some problem children, right? Not children, I guess I should say that. Employees, right? And so most people want to focus on the folks that are the quote unquote problem, right? The difficult ones. And they spend probably 80% of their emotional energy on these folks and trying to fix them and deal with them and avoid them and all of those things. And so what happens is they avoid building even stronger individual players with the folks who do want it. So right. If you're going to practice and start this journey, start practicing with the folks who really want it, who are already your A players. I have a feeling that the best coaches work with the best players more than they do the bad ones. So, again, not a sports person, but I have a feeling that's the way it is, And so not ignore the other people, but I think the folks who create a lot of issues are really not wanting to help the team. It's really, they're just really kind of trying to survive and protect themselves and maybe even take other people down with them. They're pretty, not usually very happy.
Yeah, that's, again, another really great statement you made. The best coaches work with the best players. And, that's why people get drafted and they want to go to a certain sports teams. It's funny here, we're mainly a female industry and we've got all these sports analogies today, but you have to. The word team, it has to be sports emphasized, right?
Lots of women like sports, Caroline, just not me.
I like them. No, is there any other point that you want to get across before we start wrapping up this conversation today in terms of other things that, if I'm a center director and I'm struggling either developing my team or developing myself, how can you help with that?
Well, one of the words or one of the topics in the kind of little promo we did was being your authentic self. And so one piece that I was thinking about as I was doing that research, right? What's a good topic to bring to the table today? It was a lot of about being a team, about communicating, but then also doing it in a way that's very transparent. And so to me, that is kind of what being authentic is about, right? And so we can spend time as leaders looking at ourselves and what we have to work on. But maybe we also as leaders can just cut ourselves a break and not spend so much time beating ourselves up. So I think we either beat ourselves up like saying, well, I should do this, I should do that, I'm not doing that, I should do this better, oh my gosh, I don't. Or sometimes we bulldoze people so much trying to get stuff done that it's still a form of beating ourselves up because we create more havoc, you know? And so I think it's just really okay to do the best we can today. And it's not going to be perfect, right? It's today is just today. And there are only, even in childcare, there are only a few things that are life and death.
Right.
Right. And you guys probably have more than most, but still not everything. Right. If the lady comes in on time or not, or the employee comes in on time, or is wearing flip-flops, or, you know, is that important? Absolutely. But you know what? It's okay not to have to be perfect at this thing all the time. And then to give other people that grace as well.
Yeah, that's
wow. I'm just sitting here. So if we were on video, you would see me nodding. I'm like, yep, that's a good point. That's a good point. I could just listen to you talk forever.
Oh, I know. You're always so filled with so much wisdom. And I love the idea of, you know, leading authentically. And I really truly believe that that has to come internally from you personally as an individual. You have to make that decision that you're going to really be transparent. And I think those are truly some of the best leaders. And they're the people that are willing to make mistakes and be accountable to their mistakes. And they're willing to let their staff make mistakes and fail forward. And I think that, you know, you bring up so many great points today, and, you know, just taking that initial look at ourselves and how can we grow ourselves individually so that we can impact our teams the most.
And the reason I know all of that is because I do it wrong every day. Well, I try to compare, and maybe this is the best last little piece of advice, or tip. When I compare my insides to other people's outsides, I fail all the time. They look like they got it together. They seem to say all the words right. They look the part. They earned the right. They drive the right car. They, you know, whatever. When I'm comparing to those people that I think I'm supposed to measure up to for some level of success, I match that with my insides, and I have self-doubt. You know, I don't know that I do everything right. So I got to remember that we all have that. And it's okay, to your point, to make mistakes and to realize that we're not all perfect.
So good. So I have a question completely unrelated to the topic that I have to ask. So you had mentioned that you were in insurance for like 8 years. Mm-hmm. Yes. How did you end up doing this awesome, you know, professional encourager stuff that you talk about?
I had a gentleman by the name of Mark King, who was another Ken Jones in my life. It was purely somebody who, the short story is, he called me up one day after I met with him, or a group of business people. I was in a networking group and I was doing insurance. And he said, after I met with him, he called me and he said, can I make an observation? And I said, sure. Like, I hardly even knew the guy. And he says, I just want you to know you belong. Aww. You fit. You deserve to be here. And I got to tell you what that did for me is it was like, I felt like I was naked, right? Like all of my insecurities and self-doubts somebody else could see. And that was his gift. And then he's, you know, to be able to see that in others. And then he says, and you fit and you're amazing at what you do. And over the next 3 or 4 years, we did a lot of work together. And finally one day he said, why don't you come work for me? And I literally said, well, I sell insurance. And he helped me see how I was doing lots of coaching and what I had already been doing and how to kind of take that leap of faith. So every single positive thing that has happened in my life has always come through a little bit of heartache and somebody else willing to believe in me and stand shoulder to shoulder with me through it.
Wow.
And Caroline has been two of those people in my life, by the way.
Aw, right back at you, right back at you. A lot of times I struggle with confidence a lot of times, and I'm similar to you where sometimes I feel like I put on this mask and I'm pretending to be this person that I'm truly not. And, you know, you always you draw that out of me and always find a way to compliment me and build me up. And I appreciate that. And what I'm really excited about is that in our next leadership box that's going out in January, you're going to have a trinket in there. And I think you're going to have some coaching time in there.
I am. A little coupon. A certificate.
A coupon.
You can tell I'm from Wisconsin when I say, you know, those kind of things.
Well, I can't imagine what our listeners are saying today by three Wisconsinites on this podcast with our harsh Wisconsin accents. But yeah, I'm really excited about our next leadership box. I'm glad you're going to be participating with us and our boxes going forward. You have helped not only Child Care Biz Help, me personally, Justina personally, so many of our clients, and you just have the right touch to be able to kind of shed light on areas that make us better. So thank you so much for coming on today's show, Ruth.
It's an honor and a privilege. Thank you both so much.
Yes, thank you. So many good nuggets for today. I can't wait to just listen back and like remember them all. I made a couple notes so that I can like make sure we include those in the description that we will have on our website. I don't have anything else today. Do you, Caroline?
I do not. Why don't you go ahead and wrap it up?
Well, again, Ruth, thanks for coming. We'll hopefully have you back another time because I think everyone's going to be like, you should have Ruth on all the time.
I just love to chat with you guys. So whenever I can chat with you, absolutely.
Yes, I think everyone's going to love Ruth as much as we love Ruth.
Agreed.
As always, if you have any questions, you can always email us at info@daycareoverhaul. Otherwise, find us on socials at daycareoverhaul. And we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye, Ruth.